Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Did it happen? People often ask me, did it really happen? Did those wise men, those magi, travel from the east with exotic gifts? Did they find a child lying in a manger? Did the Holy Family flee into Egypt? Were innocents massacred? Well, my response, it probably sounds a very Church of England vicar type response, is you're actually asking the wrong question. And I think you're asking the wrong question because we are forgetting, if you like, a long tradition of how we read the Bible. An ancient tradition of reading the Bible likened reading the Bible to riding a four-horse chariot. And the four horses of the chariot were a different way of understanding and reading the Bible. So there was one horse, if you like, that was literal. This was the historical understanding of the Bible. And that's just, if you like, the entry-level horse. Then there was another horse who was moral, or the ethical behaviour that should flow from reading the Bible. Then there was another horse that was symbolic or metaphorical, looking for the symbolism and the meaning under the meaning of that passage. And the final horse was anagogical or heavenly, trying to tell us something of what the life of the kingdom of heaven is like and how that's mirrored in the passage. So four horses: literal, moral, symbolic, heavenly. And I think the literal or the historical question is just one small part of that. So the question you should be asking is not, did it happen, but what was that Jesus experience? What was that experience that these people are recording, what they are responding to in this way? Why in this way, and what does that experience mean? 2,000 years later, but also for those that originally experienced Jesus. Well, on one level, there's an obvious historical context. This is the literal horse galloping away. Herod, for example, is known to have killed his own children out of jealousy. He didn't want them to become rulers. Then, of course, there's that moral horse, that second horse. We're called to align ourselves with the outcasts, with the refugees, because of the slaughtered innocents, because of the family heading into Egypt. This is the experience of Jesus. It should be the experience of those who follow Jesus, being aligned with the outcast. Then, of course, there's the heavenly, that final horse, if you like, the contrast with the earthly empire of Rome and of Rome's collaborators enforcing things with violence compared to the heavenly kingdom, earthly empire, heavenly kingdom. But it's a symbolic that I would wish to concentrate upon today. And to concentrate upon the symbolic, we have to understand, if you like, a Jewish way of understanding and writing about experiences. That way is called Midrash. Midrash. And it's the understanding that we can only ever explain the experiences we have now using our experiences of the past. I can only tell you what a song is like based on a song I've heard in the past and say it's like that but with a bit more bass or whatever. Yeah, you can only explain the present with the past. The past is your only point of reference. So Israel had inherited stories. It inherited stories that gave meaning to present-day realities, and that is Midrash. What are the inherited stories of Israel, and how do they then explain the present? So the story can be historically true. It could be. It doesn't mean it's not historically true. Herod could have killed the innocents, and it indicates something of the nature of Jesus. Or the story can be symbolically true. Those who are telling the story of Jesus are using the symbols that they've inherited from their faith tradition, from the Israelite faith tradition. What is the primary symbol of this story? The primary symbol, I think, is that Jesus is a new Moses. He is like Moses. In fact, we go on to understand him as being far greater than Moses, but we are telling this story in the form of Jesus as a new Moses. So the Holy Family flee to Egypt. So out of Egypt, they can come again. Remember that journey from Egypt into the Promised Land with Moses leading them? That is the experience of Moses, the experience of the Exodus, the experience of the Israelite story. The children are killed. That was what was happening at the time of Moses. All the Hebrew boys were being killed by the Egyptians because they were terrified of the Hebrew nation. So when Matthew is writing his gospel, he makes these links absolutely clear. Just in case, you cannot miss them. They're there. It spells them out. So he says, out of Egypt I have called my son. Well, Hosea, the prophet Hosea, writes that. Chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So this is very much the story of the journey out of Egypt into the wilderness. Rachel weeping for her children. Well, that recalls the time when Israel was carried off into captivity. An experience, although it wasn't the Exodus, that was retold using Exodus themes. Rachel's weeping for her children. Israel has been overrun, and the elite of the country, the professionals, if you like, have been taken away into captivity. References to Moses carry on appearing in the Gospels. 40 days in the wilderness spends Jesus after he's baptized. 40 years in the wilderness is the experience of Israel. You know, you are meant to notice these things. There's a multiplication of loaves by Jesus. Jesus makes enough bread to feed everyone. In the wilderness, there's the manna from heaven, the bread of angels that feeds the people. You are meant to notice these links. Did these literally happen? We don't know. But as I say, I think that's the wrong question. The experience of Jesus indicates this happening. The experience of Jesus is the experience of encountering a new Moses, one greater than Moses, because remember, Moses didn't actually enter the Promised Land, but Jesus, if you like, becomes the Promised Land. He is the kingdom of God made present among us. The Gospels are full of references to the Hebrew Scriptures. In the beginning starts the book of Genesis. In the beginning starts the Gospel of John. You are meant to notice this. There is a creation right at the start of the Bible, the Hebrew texts. There is a recreation, a new creation, a new way of being at the start of John's Gospel, at the start of the experience of what Jesus is and who he is. Jesus also brings back to life. He brings back, if you remember, a widow's son. He's been carried out on the bier, and the widow's weeping, and it's the only son. Jesus brings this son back to life. Elijah, the prophet, brings back to life a widow's son also. So you've got one like Elijah, one that's fulfilling the role of the prophets, but actually greater than the prophets. So remember, when you read that Bible of yours, which I'm sure is well thumbed through at home, you should be thinking of that four-horse chariot. Recall not so much did this happen as is recorded, but what does this mean? What does this mean? Yes, there's the historical interest is there, but what does this mean ethically? How should I live my life? When I encounter this book, encounter this text, how should I live my life? What does this mean metaphorically? But reading the Bible is like peeling an onion. What is the layer under the layer? What is the symbol? What is that, if you like, poetry that can engage my life? And what does this mean also under the aspect of the eternal?